Today we're taking a clean pad in Ableton Live 12 and turning it into something with serious chopped vinyl character, the kind of texture that sits right in that jungle, old school drum and bass, rag inflected world. So the goal here is not to wreck the pad. We're not trying to make it useless. We're trying to make it feel sampled, dusty, rhythmic, and alive, like it came off a battered record or a dubbed up cassette and got reworked into a rave loop. A good way to think about this lesson is in layers. You want a main tone, a dirt layer, and a motion layer. Even if they all come from the same original pad, process them differently. That layered thinking is what makes the sound believable, because a real jungle texture usually isn't just one effect chain doing everything. Let's start with the source. Pick something simple and emotionally neutral, a sustained synth pad, a Rhodes-style chord, a vocal pad, anything with a decent harmonic body. Keep the harmony sparse. One or two chords is enough for that old-school jungle feel. Minor and suspended shapes work really well. Think M7 to GM7, DM9 to C, FM7 to EB, or M9 to G. You want the pad to act like texture and atmosphere, not like a busy lead line. Before we get into grime, clean the source up a little. Put an EQ8 first and high pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, depending on how full it is. If it's muddy, cut some low mids around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's poking out harshly, gently dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Then use utility to control the width. If the pad is too wide and start smearing the mix, bring it down a bit. A very wide pad can sound exciting soloed, but in a jungle track it can easily fight with your break and your bass, so keep the low end lean and leave room. Now we can start adding character. Vinyl distortion is a fast way to get that sampled, aged flavor. Don't overdo it. A little tracing model, a little drive, a touch of crackle, and maybe some pinch if it feels right. You're aiming for the sense of surface wear, not obvious destruction. After that, try a gentle saturator with soft clip-on. A couple of dB of drive is often enough to bring out harmonics and help the pad sit inside dense drums. If you want a bit more of a sampler edge, add redux very lightly. Small amounts of downsampling and bit reduction can make the pad feel a little more worn, but be careful. Too much and it starts sounding cheap instead of characterful. Next, filter it into jungle territory. Auto filter is perfect here. A low pass 24 dB setting works well, with a cutoff somewhere between 1.5 and 6 kHz depending on how dark you want it. Keep the resonance moderate or low, and don't be afraid to automate that cutoff. This is a huge part of the vibe. In the intro, close the filter down and make the pad feel distant and moody. In a breakdown, open it up a little. When the full drums and bass hit, darken it again so the rhythm section owns the low and mid space. That kind of movement makes the pad feel like part of an arrangement, not just a loop sitting on top. Now for the real magic, chopping. This is where the pad starts behaving like a sampled phrase instead of a sustained synth. If your pad is MIDI, you can simply shorten notes, create gaps, offset some chord hits, and play stabs off the grid a little for swing. Don't make every hit busy. Let the phrasing breathe. A jungle pad works best when it lands around drum accents, pickups, and gaps in the break. Think of it almost like a musical percussion part. If you want a more authentic chopped feel, resample the pad to audio. Print it once the main tone and character processing feel good. That's an important habit. By the way, print early. It helps you commit to decisions, and it often gets you closer to that real sampled edge than endlessly tweaking live devices. Once you've got audio, slice it up. You can manually chop it into pieces or use slice to new MIDI track, then rearrange the slices into a new rhythm. For example, you could have a long hit on beat 1, a shorter chop on beat 2, a little reverse feeling swell before beat 3, a stab on beat 4, and then a ghost chop in the second bar to keep things moving. That's the kind of phrasing that gives you that old-school loop conversation with the drums. Swing matters a lot here. Jungle and old-school D&B live and breathe timing feel. If the pad is too straight, it'll sound modern and stiff. Use the groove pool with some MPC style or 16th note swing. Start subtle. You might only need 10 to 30% timing variation, with a little velocity movement if the chops need humanizing. You can also nudge some slices manually. Slightly late can feel dubby and lazy. Slightly early can create tension and urgency. Both can work, depending on whether you want the pad to relax behind the beat or push into it. Now let's build the full effect chain. A really solid starting order would be EQ8, then auto filter, then vinyl distortion, then saturator, then redux, then maybe a subtle chorus ensemble or flanger, followed by echo, then reverb, and finally utility. Each part has a job. EQ cleans up the spectrum. Auto filter darkens and moves things. Vinyl distortion gives you surface wear and sampled identity. Saturator thickens the mids. Redux adds a little lo-fi sampler grit. Chorus or flanger can create a slightly unstable, misty motion. Echo gives you that dubby old-school space. Reverb adds depth, but keep it controlled. And utility gives you final width and level control. For the delay and reverb, think like a ragga jungle engineer rather than a glossy ambient producer. Use echo with a delay time around eighth notes or dotted eighths, feedback around 20-35%, and filter the highs and lows so it doesn't clutter the drop. A little modulation can help, but keep it subtle. For reverb, go shorter and darker than your instincts might say. A decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds, a bit of pre-delay, and a lower high cut usually works better than a huge shiny wash. The idea is dub space, not endless cloud. Here's a really useful move: automate the send to echo only on certain chops or transitions. That gives you those classic throw moments where a chop explodes into space for just a second, then the groove snaps back in. It's a small detail, but it makes the arrangement feel intentional. If you want even more chopped vinyl energy, add instability in the little details. Vary note lengths. Automate filter cutoff in small jumps. Use clip envelopes for volume pulses. Push saturator drive a bit in fills. Try a reverse chop before a big stab or a transition. A reverse hit pulling into the main chord is such a classic move. It creates that sense of tension and memory, like the track is constantly reaching into the next bar. And remember, the pad can act like percussion. That's a big mindset shift. Shortened chord hits can behave like syncopated musical drums, so don't only hear them as harmony. Hear how they answer the snare, how they sit against ghost notes, and how they leave space for the break to breathe. If every slice is busy, the groove stops breathing. Chopping should help the phrasing, not just to add novelty. If you want to go one step further, try a two-layer approach. Duplicate the pad. Keep one layer warmer, filtered, and relatively stable. On the second layer, high pass it hard, distort it, bit crush it a little, and widen it slightly. Blend that dirty layer quietly underneath. That gives you a clean body plus a dirty top, which is a really effective way to fake the feeling of multiple sources and multiple processing stages. You can also build a little call and response with the bass line. When the bass is busy, close the pad down or narrow it. When the bass leaves space, open the pad or let a delay tail ring. That kind of arrangement thinking makes the whole tune feel more composed, especially in jungle where tension and release are everything. A very practical arrangement idea is to let the pad evolve over the sections. In the intro, start with a filtered atmospheric layer and maybe some noise or crackle. Then bring in the pad body. After that, add the chopped rhythm. In the breakdown, let the pad open up and breathe. In the drop, strip it back to shorter, darker fragments so the drums and sub can hit harder. That contrast is huge. A pad often feels stronger when it gets thinner in the drop, because it's leaving room for the core groove. Here's a mini practice challenge you can try right away. Make a simple minor 7 pad progression. Process it with EQ8, vinyl distortion, auto filter, saturator, and echo. Resample it to auto. Slice it into 8 to 12 pieces. Rearrange those chops into a syncopated 4-bar loop. Add a groove swing from the groove pool. Automate the filter cutoff across the 4 bars. Then compare the clean version, the gritty version, and the chopped version. The goal is to make the chopped version feel like it belongs in a 95 to 97 style jungle tune with rolling breaks and ragga tension. So the big recap is this: start simple, clean before you dirty, add vinyl style instability, shape the tone with filtering, chop the phrase rhythmically, add swing and human feel, and use delay and reverb like dub tools. The magic is in grit, rhythm, and space working together. That's the jungle formula. If you want to take it further, the next step would be building a custom device rack with macros for grit, chop, motion, and space, so you can perform the whole vibe live and make it evolve across your arrangement.